12,000. Hold that number in your head for the next 20 minutes. 12,000 watt-hours per kilogram. That's the energy density of Jet A fuel. The stuff you pump into your tanks before every flight. The stuff that spins turbines at temperatures that would melt most metals. The stuff that has made commercial aviation economically viable for 60 years. Pound for pound, Jet A stores more usable energy than almost anything else humans have figured out how to carry on an aircraft. I'm Vector, this is Clear Direct on Radio Hangar. And today I want to talk about the one variable that determines whether electric aviation grows beyond short hops and pattern work or starts to genuinely compete with turbines on real routes. Not the motors, not the regulatory framework, not the software, the battery, specifically what solid-state batteries actually are, why they've been 5 years away for the last 15 years, and what it would actually take for them to change the math you look at before every pre-flight. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey. Beautifully made and built to last. AviationSoul.com. Now, back to 12,000. The best lithium-ion battery cells going into aircraft today deliver somewhere between 250 and 300 watt-hours per kilogram at the cell level. When you account for the weight of the packaging, the battery management electronics, the thermal management hardware, and the structural housing that keeps the pack from becoming a fire hazard, you're looking at usable pack-level energy density closer to 170 to 200 watt-hours per kilogram. Maybe 220 if you're pushing the latest generation of cells. That ratio is the core problem. Jet A has 12,000 state-of-the-art aircraft battery packs have 200. That's a factor of 60, let me put it in pilot terms. Take a Cessna 172, standard fuel load, about 400 pounds of avgas. Replace that weight pound for pound with the best lithium-ion battery pack money can buy right now. You'd have somewhere between 2 and 3% of the energy you started with, 2 to 3%. That's why electric trainers have the range they have, not because the engineers didn't try hard enough, because physics handed them a constraint and doesn't negotiate. The question the whole electric aviation industry is working around, whether they say it out loud or not, is can we change the battery chemistry fundamentally enough to move that number? Not to 12,000. Nothing is going to match Jet A, but from 200 to 500, from 200 to 800, those numbers change what's possible. That's the solid-state promise. Let's break down what a conventional lithium-ion battery actually is, because understanding the problem tells you exactly why solid-state is such a different approach. A lithium-ion cell has four main components: a cathode, the positive electrode, an anode, the negative electrode, a separator, a thin permeable membrane keeping the two electrodes from touching each other, and an electrolyte, which is a liquid solution that carries lithium ions back and forth between cathode and anode as the battery charges and discharges. That liquid electrolyte is simultaneously what makes lithium ion work well and what limits it. The liquid allows ions to move quickly and efficiently. That's the good part. But the liquid is also flammable. When a lithium ion cell overheats, the electrolyte can vaporize, react with oxygen, and you get what engineers call thermal runaway. You've seen what this looks like in consumer electronics. In aviation, the Boeing 787 Dreamliner fleet was grounded by the Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, in early 2013 after battery fires in the auxiliary power units of two separate aircraft. Both incidents were liquid electrolyte failures. The liquid electrolyte also limits how thin you can make the separator layer, which constrains how much active electrode material you can pack into a given volume. And over time, lithium dendrites form in the electrolyte, tiny needle-like crystal structures that grow from the anode toward the cathode, with each charge cycle, eventually puncturing the separator and shorting the cell. Solid-state batteries eliminate the liquid. They replace the liquid electrolyte with a solid material. The category is named for that substitution. The solid electrolyte comes in several different chemistries: ceramic oxides, like lithium garnet compounds, sulfide glasses, which conduct ions well at room temperature but react badly with moisture, polymers, which are flexible but often need elevated temperatures to conduct well. Each chemistry has trade-offs. Different companies have made different bets. What solid electrolyte promises is a safer cell that can also use a lithium metal anode instead of the graphite anode in conventional lithium ion. And a lithium metal anode is where most of the energy density improvement actually comes from. Lithium metal can store roughly 10 times more lithium per unit of weight than graphite. That's what gets you to 500 watt-hours per kilogram and beyond. In theory, the players in this space read like a who's who of automotive investment, and that's worth noting. The money coming into solid-state batteries is coming from car companies first, not aviation companies, which shapes both the timeline and the priorities. QuantumScape is probably the most visible name here. They went public in 2020 with Volkswagen Group as a major investor. Their approach uses a lithium metal anode with a ceramic oxide electrolyte. Their published data has shown impressive energy density and reasonable cycle life in small format cells. Their public roadmap targets automotive applications in the near term. Solid Power is a Colorado-based company that spun out of the University of Colorado Boulder. They use a sulfide-based solid electrolyte and have partnered with BMW and Ford. They've built a pilot production line, which puts them further along in manufacturing process development than some competitors. Toyota holds more solid-state battery patents than almost any other organization on the planet. They've been developing this technology since before most of the current startup wave existed. Their near-term focus is hybrid vehicles, with full solid-state battery electric as a longer horizon goal. Samsung SDI has been in this space for years as well, with their own sulfide chemistry cells and a broad customer base in automotive and consumer electronics. On the aviation-specific side, a company called Solid Energy Systems, or SESAI, has been explicitly targeting aerospace applications and has partnered with Airbus. Their approach uses a lithium metal anode with a hybrid electrolyte designed to handle the performance demands of aviation duty cycles rather than the comparatively gentle life of a passenger vehicle. Now, before we get to why manufacturing is so hard, it's worth acknowledging what's already happening with next-generation lithium ion, because the industry is not sitting still waiting for solid state. Silicon anode technology is the nearest term improvement in sight. Silicon can store roughly 10 times more lithium than graphite. The problem is that silicon expands dramatically when it absorbs lithium, up to 300% volume change. That expansion cracks the anode over repeated charge cycles. The current solution has been to use silicon in small percentages blended with graphite, limiting the capacity gain but avoiding catastrophic expansion. Companies like Sila Nanotechnologies are working on silicon-dominant anodes that manage the expansion at the nanoscale. These could push lithium-ion cells toward 350 to 400 watt-hours per kilogram within this decade without requiring the manufacturing leap that solid-state demands. Cathode chemistry is evolving too. Higher nickel content in the cathode increases energy density but reduces thermal stability. The trade-off is being managed through better electrode coatings and more sophisticated battery management systems. Aviation's first-generation electric aircraft used conservative cathode formulations. Current generation is pushing those formulations harder. These incremental improvements matter because aviation doesn't wait for the perfect technology. It adopts the best available technology that meets the certification bar. The Pipistrel Velis electro flying at flight schools today will eventually give way to a design using better lithium-ion cells, which will give way to a design using early solid-state cells. That progression is already in motion. Here's what the data tells an interesting story about. Why solid-state at scale is so genuinely hard? The first challenge is manufacturing consistency. A coin cell the size of your thumbnail is not a battery pack the size of a suitcase. When you manufacture thousands of cells and assemble them into large format packs, tolerances that were invisible at small scale become critical failure modes. The solid electrolyte layer needs to be deposited with extreme consistency across every cell. Any void, any hairline crack, any contamination particle creates a localized failure point at scale. Maintaining that consistency in a production environment requires manufacturing processes that don't fully exist yet for solid-state chemistry. Conventional lithium-ion manufacturing has been refined over 30-plus years. Solid-state is much earlier in that maturation curve. The second challenge is what engineers call stack pressure. In a conventional cell, the liquid electrolyte fills any microscopic gaps between electrode surfaces automatically. In a solid-state cell, the electrodes and solid electrolyte need to be pressed together under mechanical force to maintain the contact required for ions to move. As the battery charges and discharges, the anode expands and contracts as lithium moves in and out. Managing that volume change under compression across thousands of cycles, without cracking the electrolyte or delaminating the electrode interfaces, is one of the central problems the field hasn't fully solved. The third challenge is temperature. Ionic conductivity through a solid electrolyte drops as temperature decreases. at minus 40 degrees Celsius, which a battery pack can experience at altitude depending on installation configuration, many solid electrolyte chemistries become poor conductors. You need lithium ions moving quickly during a high-power climb. You need performance at the extremes of the envelope. The thermal demands of aviation add complexity that automotive applications don't face to the same degree. And then there's certification. The existing standards for aircraft battery installations, the FAA special conditions that govern lithium battery installations, were written with lithium ion chemistry in mind. Solid-state cells will exhibit different failure modes, different thermal behavior, different aging characteristics. Europe's aviation safety regulator, EASA, faces the same challenge. The certification framework for solid-state batteries in commercial aircraft doesn't fully exist yet. Building it requires test data. Test data requires hardware. Hardware requires confidence in the technology. That's not a bureaucratic problem. It's a sequencing problem, and it takes time to work through. So what's the honest timeline? The industry consensus across technical publications, conference proceedings, and analyst reports puts meaningful solid-state battery availability for aviation applications somewhere between 2030 and 2035. The optimistic case says late in this decade. The pessimistic case pushes into the early 2040s. The width of that estimate tells you something real. The uncertainty isn't about whether the chemistry works. It's about whether factories can be built and yields can be improved on the timeline the business models require. Nobody doubts the underlying science. Everyone disagrees on the industrial execution. Three signals to watch that would tell you solid state is actually arriving. First, automotive volume production. Not a press release, not a technology demonstrator. When a major automaker ships a production vehicle with large format solid state cells, cars rolling off an assembly line in volume that validates the manufacturing process at the scale aviation needs to adapt from. Aviation certifies on top of automotive scale. It doesn't rebuild the chemistry factory from scratch. Second, regulatory engagement. When the FAA and EASA start publishing special conditions or means of compliance guidance specifically for solid-state battery installations, that signals the agencies have hardware to evaluate. That moves the technology from theoretical to testable in the regulatory sense, and that transition is what starts the certification clock. Third, public cycle life data from aviation conditions. When a company publishes independently verified results showing solid-state cells completing 2,000 full charge cycles under aviation thermal conditions with less than 20% capacity loss, that's the threshold where commercial operations become viable. We don't have that data yet. We'll know when we do. When solid-state does arrive at scale, here's what changes in aviation. Electric trainers become genuinely useful cross-country aircraft instead of pattern work platforms. A current certified electric trainer with real-world range of 50 to 60 nautical miles stretched to 150 or 200 with doubled energy density. That's an aircraft that can support meaningful training syllabuses without range anxiety driving every lesson plan. Solo cross-country's navigation training. Actual practical test prep on single-engine procedures. The regional category? The 19 to 30 seat turboprops and small jets connecting smaller cities to larger hubs starts to look viable on purely electric power for routes under 300 miles. Heart Aerospace, a Swedish company, is designing the ES-30, a 30-passenger aircraft specifically around the assumption that better batteries are coming on a specific timeline. Their hybrid electric architecture can fly today with a conventional engine supplementing the electric system, then transition to a higher proportion of electric power as energy density improves. It's a technology bridge strategy built directly into the airframe before the enabling technology has arrived. For electric vertical takeoff and landing aircraft, the first generation is being designed with tight energy margins. Reserve power, divert capability, handling degraded cell capacity, these all get more comfortable when the battery carries twice the energy for the same weight. The difference between a service that technically works and one that works reliably in daily commercial operations often comes down to margin. Better batteries provide margin. And at some point further out, hybrid narrow-body propulsion becomes real, not full electrification of a Boeing 737. That's still beyond what any plausible battery chemistry can deliver, because the energy requirements at narrow-body scale are simply too large. But an electric motor assisting a turbofan during the high-power climb segment, recovering energy during descent, reducing total fuel burn by 15 to 25% on routes under 1,000 miles. That's within the physics of what 800 watt-hours per kilogram enables on a fleet of thousands of narrow-body aircraft flying hundreds of daily cycles each. That's a material reduction in global aviation emissions. Not zero, not clean, but meaningful. The 12,000 watt-hours per kilogram of Jet A isn't going to be matched in our lifetimes. You can't negotiate those molecular bonds into releasing more energy than thermodynamics permits, but the gap between where batteries are today and where they need to be to unlock a much larger share of aviation missions isn't infinite. It's specific. It's bounded. It's being attacked with more engineering resources than any battery problem in history has ever received. We're not there yet, but now you know exactly what the target looks like, who's shooting at it, and what it means when somebody actually hits it. Technical reporting from Aviation Week and Space Technology, the Journal of the Electrochemical Society, the Department of Energy's Vehicle Technologies Office, and public disclosures from QuantumScape, Solid Power, SES AI, and Heart Aerospace all inform this segment. More at radiohangar.com. I'm Vector. Stay curious.